In this lesson, I want to expand our acceptance of the present moment to cover anything that may occur in meditation. In the first lesson, we looked at this in relationship to thoughts, accepting that they are going to come, not resenting them, not resisting them, but whenever we realize they're there, just coming back to the breath, coming back to the body, coming back to the present moment. And this has been a basic element throughout all these lessons. But when I say coming back to the breath, as you've got more into the meditation, you probably noticed that you can also come back to other experiences in the body. The breath is just a very good starting point when we begin meditation because it's something that's always there and it's always changing, it's moving in and out, and we can become interested in it. But as our practice of meditation deepens, you'll probably find you don't need to come back to the breath so specifically. You can just come back to the experience of the body, sitting here, gently breathing. The breath is just part of this larger experience of just sitting here in the present moment. And then we looked at physical discomforts, tensions in the body. And again, we took an attitude of just allowing, not resisting, not wishing they weren't there, but just opening to them, accepting the experience, rather than resisting it, or wishing they weren't there, or trying to avoid feeling them. Now, in this lesson, I want to take that attitude of just opening to what is, just allowing it to be there, and apply it to everything that may occur in meditation. Now, when I talk about accepting everything as it is, I do not mean accepting our situation or our circumstances as they are. This is often a point of confusion. They say to me, do you mean I should just accept what's happening to me? I should accept the way my children are behaving or the inconsiderate attitudes of my co-workers or the injustices of the world, the cruelty people inflict upon each other, these sorts of things? No, I'm not suggesting at all that we accept the situations or what goes on in the world. There are many, many things which should not be tolerated, and we may well feel called to do whatever we can to improve conditions for ourselves and for others. What I'm talking about is accepting our experience. So if, for example, we're feeling indignant or frustrated or angry, I'm talking about accepting that feeling as it is in the present, whatever's going on in the present moment, not resisting the experience, not wishing it weren't there, but allowing it in and accepting how it feels. There's no point resisting our experience because it could only be as it is. It couldn't be any different. So wishing it were different is actually futile. And in fact, wishing it were different often actually only makes it worse. You've probably already experienced something like this in meditation when you've had some physical discomfort. There is the discomfort itself, and then there is the resistance to the experience of the discomfort, which creates an added sense of discontent. On the other hand, when you've allowed the discomfort to be there, and rather than trying to block it or wish it weren't there, and done the opposite and been curious as to what it actually feels like, you've probably found that it gets easier to be with and it doesn't bother you so much. You may have heard the saying, pain is inevitable, suffering is optional. And what this means is, yes, we're going to experience pain, discomforts, tension. Whether or not we cause additional discontent or suffering to ourselves over our reaction to it is something that is actually up to us. And what many people have found time and again through history is that the root cause of suffering is actually our resistance to our experience. And this really is the essence of what the Buddha discovered. When people first hear of Buddha and the idea of suffering, they often think, Buddha taught that life is suffering and we just have to put up with it. Buddha was actually looking for ways to end human suffering, not so much to reduce the external causes of suffering, but to reduce the inner causes. He himself was born a rich prince with everything he could wish for and all the material luxuries and opportunities of the time, but still he found he experienced suffering of one kind or another. But even to use the word suffering is a little misleading. The word that the Buddha used in his language, that is often translated into English as suffering, is the word dukkha. But the word dukkha means more than suffering in the normal sense. It is actually the negative of another word, sukha. And the word sukha means to be at ease, to be content. So dukkha is better translated as not being at ease in oneself, feeling discontent. Or as many contemporary Buddhist scholars now translate it, unsatisfactoriness. We are not happy with the way things are. They're not satisfactory. So when Buddha said we all experience suffering, he meant that we all experience discontent in one way or another. And I don't think anyone would argue with the truth of that. But there's an even deeper meaning to the word, which is very significant for the practice of meditation that we're doing here. The root meaning of the word sukha is a wheel that revolves smoothly around its axle. It revolves easily, without friction. So the opposite to that, dukkha, is a wheel that revolves with resistance. It's not moving smoothly. And this suggests that the root of suffering is actually resistance. Resistance to our experience in the moment. What the Buddha realized on his awakening is that the reason we resist the way things are, and thence the reason we suffer, is that we cling to an idea of how things should be. We want things to be different than they are. We want something more, or we want to get rid of something that's disturbing us. And as far as meditation goes, this means we are not accepting our experience in the moment. We wish it were different in some way, or we start wanting something, or feeling there's something missing. And the Buddha saw that the way to end suffering was to let go of clinging, to let go of attachment to how things should or should not be. And that's what we'll be practicing in this next lesson, accepting our experience as it is. No resistance, no attachment to how things should or should not be. Just allowing our experience to be as it is, not wanting it to be any different. Now, it may happen that sometimes in meditation, you do experience resistance coming in, or you may feel some discontent with the practice itself. If this happens, don't feel you've gone wrong, that you should not be experiencing resistance or discontent. If it is happening, it is happening. It is part of the present moment. So just accept the resistance as part of what is. And as with other experiences in meditation, don't resist it. Don't resist the resistance. Just allow the experience of resistance in. Notice how it feels. It may be a vague sense of tightness in your mind, or a feeling of constriction in your being, or a sense of holding yourself back from experiencing something. Or it could be a very slight attitude of trying to meditate, trying to be a little bit quieter, trying to keep the attention focused on the breath or something, or trying not to let thoughts come in, trying to reach some special state. Trying is so deeply ingrained in us that we can easily fall into it without even realizing it. So if you notice anything like this, a vague sense of resistance or discontent or slight trying or efforting, we just take the same attitude as with anything else in meditation. Don't try to stop it or change it or block the feeling. Instead, just let the experience in. Become interested in it. How does it feel, this vague sense of trying, this background feeling of discontent or resistance or tightness? Get to know how it feels, and then just allow it to be there. And more often than not, you'll find the resistance begins to fade away. And as this happens, you'll find yourself sinking back into the ease of the natural mind. And this is really the fundamental principle behind this practice. It's about allowing ourselves to drop back into the present, back into a state of ease, back into that natural state of contentment, by letting go of all the various things, the thoughts, the feelings, the attitudes that tend to create discontent. And when we stop creating discontent for ourselves, then naturally we are back in contentment. But as always, the easiest way to learn this is through personal practice. So when you're ready, play the next lesson, and in it we'll be exploring how to allow everything to just be as it is.